conversation coming with from live from the Trinity FM station here in Dublin. This week I'm going to talk exclusively about literary translation, having had my piece La Nahanba Hafodo published yesterday in Trinity's Jolt Journal, Journal of Literary Translation. Literary translation was something I knew very little about prior to the publication of this particular anthology. So I'm going to talk a bit about what exactly literary translation is. Literary translation consists of the translation of poetry, plays, literary books, literary texts, as well as songs, rhymes, literary articles, fiction novels, short stories, poems, etc. You translate the language, but not only that, you also translate their culture. The style is the essential characteristic of every piece of writing, and the outcome of the writer's personality and their emotions at the moment. A single paragraph can't be put together without revealing to some degree the personality of the author. Every writer has a literary style without revealing to some degree the personality of the author. Some authors say that a translation should reflect the style of the original text, while others say that a translation should possess the style of the translator. A good translator should have a thorough knowledge of the source and target languages, be able to identify what the author, or the book, or the poem, and understand his culture and country, and employ a good method for translating literary texts. The literary translator has to take into account the beauty of the text, its style, the lexical, grammatical and phonological features. Some of these may not be the same in the target language. I'm actually so proud that we have the only Journal of Literary Translation here in Trinity College. And as well as that, we also have a master's program, MPhil, in literary translation. The Trinity Journal of Literary Translation is a non-profit literary publication in Trinity College. It showcases writing and translation by Trinity students, staff and alumni, as well as members of the wider community. It is Ireland's only literary journal dedicated exclusively to translations, and in the past has featured texts written in Albanian, Japanese, Kurdish, Czech, Hindi, Ancient Greek and more. They encourage submissions of translated works of fiction, memoir and poetry from any language into English or Irish or vice versa. The magazine was founded in 2013 by Claudio Sansoni and is published twice yearly. So essentially, so long as Irish or English is included in the translation, it doesn't matter what you're translating, whether it's an excerpt of a novel, an excerpt of a longer work, a longer short story, slash fiction, poetry or a play, Trinity Jolt will accept it. The particular piece I translated was Les Enfants Animaux by Arthur Rimbaud, who is actually a poet that I'm studying at the moment in French text as part of the Joint Honours French and Irish degree. Arthur Rimbaud was a French poet and adventurer who was renowned in the symbolist movement and markedly influenced modern poetry, particularly with his sonnets and his style. The reason I chose to translate Rimbaud particularly was not only because I was studying him at the time, but because the title and the theme running throughout Jolt was ellipsis, which for those of you who may not know, I only came across the word quite recently, is dot dot dot. And this particular poem had a dot 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 at the end of the title. As well as that, it kind of, I suppose, prompted a few reactions that might have ended with an ellipsis because it was quite a strange poem. However, I translated it from French to Irish rather than French to English or English to French. I kind of bypassed English in it because I am studying French and Irish. And in doing so, I found that although the language in English was really vulgar and heavy and you'd want a strong back to even consider reading it, Irish complemented it so well because it came off, even though we were talking about body parts and killings and everything disgusting in the world, it still sounded beautiful because it was brought in Irish. And that's what I think is so beautiful about the Irish language. I'm going to play my first song now. It's called On Potera by the Bonnie Men, and it's true Gaelic as well.
Troubles of my own. The white man, he come over here when he see he think he own. He take all of my copper, he take away my gold. Take away my children with his Christian stranglehold. Ha ha! Fuck some diddly arrow, make some data, data, tea. Send Australia to England, they got room enough, alright. Pack him into leaky ships and sail them out of sight. There'd be no native problem, we had them well subdued. Heavy clearings in Tasmania and on the mainland too. Ha ha! Fuck some diddly arrow, make some data, data, tea. Who's superior? Who's inferior? Who's talking down to who? Well, the world is always turning, and underneath she's burning. This world is made of wonder, of thunder and of thunder. This world is made of love. Who's down under? Who's up above? Ah! To the black man, now you belong to me. I'm selling all your children into slavery. Ha! Work some diddly arrow, mark some beaten diddly dee. Oh, the Catholic and the Protestant, we're fighting over land. Let the Catholic to the Protestant, I just don't understand. What troubles you the most is it the transubstantiation of the host, the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost. Theology, the philosophy, the cathology, the ideology. The front, the bottom, me, or the bottle in front of me. Who's down under? Who's up above? Who's who's inferior? Who's talking down to who? Well, the world is always turning, and underneath she's burning. This world is made of wonder, of thunder and of thunder. This world is made of love. Who's down under? Who's up above? Who's superior? Who's inferior? Who's talking down to who? Well, the world is always turning, and underneath she's burning. This world is made of wonder, of thunder and of thunder. This world is made of love. Who's down under? Who's up above?
I hope you enjoyed that tune on Poterra, as well as Ireland and Australia by John Splann. We need to bear in mind that literary translation is in fact difficult. But not only that, there aren't exactly as many submission opportunities as there are for the likes of short stories or poems. The Stinging Fly is a magazine that was founded in 1997 by Aoife Kavanagh and Declan Meach. It's also a book publisher, an education provider, and an online platform. They're independent and not-for-profit. Their mission is to seek out, nurture, publish, and promote the very best new writers and new writing. The first issue appeared in March 1998, and they continue to publish two issues every single year. The magazine remains controlled to who we are and what they do. They believe that there is a need for a magazine that first and foremost gives new and emerging writers an opportunity to get their work out into the world. They're particularly concerned to provide an outlet for short story writers. Past editors have included Trinity alumni Sally Rooney. And the Sting and Fly Press was launched in May 2005. Sting and Fly also have a section in their magazine called Kofkilg, which translates to conspiracy. And it's the Irish language section of the Sting and Fly, and it encourages people to translate from Irish into English or from English into Irish. Sometimes these translators use their own poetry, and sometimes they translate other accredited new and fresh poets. This particular translator, Macabard, has some beautiful translations that I'm now going to read. This is called Riacht an Chat, Askeoge, or Cat's Kingdom, in English. First off, we'll start with the Irish. Cronolin Cronquish, Bratfus agarihe, Railti exbracte, Uyorge ilogola kin, Mani haslon, Eadfia flu, Cush mohonte. Sagardian forag sheda, toitsa valagar. Calorian she mofiantu, fagart in a hila gay. The stronshare in a creatname, culum expogam riot. A modoc egon green in a sea, is torfig me a douche line. A nuct torinian blancade, fama kyamkun, a chalgarta. A car arnyangni. And the English. He purrs on padded feet, stripled amber in the night, the stark spark gold from his eyes. Slick as midnight, he's asking, what has me in his cold garden, blowing smoke across his path? His advice, get lost. His eyes glint a warning. I'm the stranger here, so I retreat beyond his borders. Tomorrow, with the sun in situ, I'll throw down a gauntlet. For now, I'll shroud my head in blankets, stifle the smart of his jeers. And that poem was originally written by Jessica Traynor, along with this other one that MacIvar translated of Father Bradley. Father Bradley, Gunyane Dia a Maher, Laid She Afran Gasta Goni, Is Ligashe Duan the Keshtana Khar, Nakhelig a Gafuyedi Glasta, Domedish La Himlan Urachol, Ni Khon Dia a Alred a Khon E a Keshtu, Kone a Dia Vogal is a Skrudu, Kone a Kara Rahil, Os Koran Fol, Derfig Shake a Dig on Fua, Igwijipta. An ash, the coffer kyaran moil alaga kogal, suladi, na prati igart. When a gardener sings to the stinking mud, he cares little for melody or pitch. His grace notes fall on filth and slime, his cadence is that of the muck. The day may be when a bluebell comes to sing along in time, but sometimes, she go bug, exmuinchu, bluebells never chime. Father Bradley, Gunyane Dia, a Maher, Tos Sagart Moreig, Airi, Gan. Biogon Tafran Gasta, Agvaron Shan Vorifaj. Father Bradley, God be good to him, read a speedy mass, begged our questions, kept no secrets in his castle pockets. When he had us sing hymns, it was to harmonize our doubts, dissect God's polyphony. Trial every note and word. He'd say hatred and growth were fertile bedfellows, and the biggest dung heap grew the best woods. When a gardener sings to the stinking mud, he cares little for melody or pitch. His great notes fall on filth and slime. His cadence is that of the muck. The day may be when a bluebell comes to sing along in time, but sometimes he would reflect. Bluebells never chime. Father Bradley, God bless him. His like are growing scarce. The mass was always quick, but the sermons lingered. This next song is a request by Enda, and this goes out to you, Enda. And I was actually considering playing this song anyway, so thanks very much for the request.
You held me.
And that song was followed by Up the Flats by Gemma Dunleavy, which is another great Irish song, a great new Irish song. I was planning on dedicating a section of this show to open mic nights, particularly ones happening around the greater Dublin area, because I myself have facilitated open mic nights and I know how important they are for musicians, for poets, for any type of performer essentially. However, it's just been announced that pubs and nightclubs are going to be closing across Ireland as of midnight on Thursday. This is something that the government has just decided. Niler9 on Instagram, who is essentially one of the biggest names when it comes to new music and gigs in Ireland, says, "Here we go again. Not even a warning or a lead-in that those of us who have put on events after midnight in any capacity would be allowed to honour the events this weekend. The government cabinet met today and decided without industry input that the entire hospitality industry must close at midnight on Thursday night. That means all pubs, nightclubs and restaurants will have to close at midnight. It makes no sense. COVID-19 is not any more impactful or infectious after midnight. This government are making decisions not based on common sense or science, but just to be seen to do something. So they've chosen to close the industry, the late gigs and nightclubs that were closed for the longest in the pandemic, 19 months. Give them 4 weeks to open and are shutting them again. It's performative. 4 weeks after one of the most stressful weeks of my life, where the government made decisions and then had to clarify repeatedly and roll back and clarify once again. The nightclubs who are diligently opening safely, navigating changing guidelines, starts taking extensive contract tracing, and doing anything that was asked of them so that they could reopen. Instead, close everything at midnight, closing business once again with the POP being closed to new participant applicants on the same day it has been reduced by €50 for existing people. Meanwhile, the government dragged their heels of any sort of use of antigen testing for months while people, myself included, have been taking them regularly anyway. On a practical level, the decision suddenly removes the income that people like myself who have events on this weekend. The Irish government's reactionary decision making is at this point baffling. Not based on real life, real data, and they are losing the support of the people it affects, who can no longer see any reasoning to them. Stop making sense is the motto. This is a purely performative act aimed at a scapegoated industry while the government refuses to employ reasoning at our expense. This is horrible for any performers and anyone who had upcoming events. There's no doubt about that. I know it's not any consolation, but for those of you who are desperate to try out some sort of performative aspect over the coming weeks, what with pubs and restaurants being closed once again. Last week I attended my first session with Lime Square Poets. Lime Square Poets is a weekly Zoom poetry gathering hosted in Limerick, in Ireland. They extend a warm welcome to all poets and poetry enthusiasts. They aim to foster connections between poets throughout the world, communing and celebrating their work together. From April, they will host gatherings every Thursday. They begin at 8 a.m, 8 p.m. even, with a reading by a guest poet followed by an open mic. For further information on how to participate, you can look them up on Facebook, Lime Square Poets, and there's a page as well as a Facebook group dedicated to them. As I said, I attended my first session last week and I don't have a bad word to say about it. Essentially, you walk in or zoom in and you put your name down for the open mic at the end, and it's facilitated so well, albeit online. Everyone is very friendly, there's time to chat. The performance aspect is brilliant. The range of poetry was fantastic. I did read a bit of literary translation and it went down a storm. They were full of compliments. Delighted to hear me speak, and I just felt so honoured to be in the presence. I'm hoping to go to many more and looking forward to future endeavours. With regards to the horrible news, I'm going to play two songs by perhaps one of the best spoken word poets in Ireland, especially Wexford, the county of which I hail from. The first song is Burn Hibernia Burn by Curse of Murphy versus Resistance. I still remember the day that this CD came into my postbox, and definitely changed the way I view Irish music from that day on.
outside my door sounds like a war. They're hacking up the tarmac, shuttering the bars. Give me one more beer before the war's declared. Sweet Jesus, hear this foxhole prayer. Sweet Jesus, hear this foxhole prayer. But though I walk with ghosts, I know no fear, nor loss of heart, nor dark despair. We will endure, we'll get through this. This foxhole prayer says I exist. This foxhole prayer says I am sick of the sadness and the madness and all this apocalyptic shit. How sweet the sound that saved this wretch. How sweet the sound that saved this wretch. I swear it was a foxhole prayer.
Those two songs by Curtin Murphy versus The Race Hastings. Foxhole Prayer was the most recent one, and it started off with Burn, I Be Near Burn. I'm going to finish off by finally reading my translation of Larva Rainbow. Start with the French, go to the Irish, finally the English. But bear in mind, I'm maybe a French student, but my French accent isn't that great now. But I try my best anyway. Les enfants animaux, salissons. Les enfants animaux salissants, même encore, avec des glands bardés de sang et d'excréments. Nos pères étaient le monde fièrement, par les plis de l'égain et les gains de les bords. Au Moyen-Âge, par la femelle, ange puce. Il fallait en galia des souliers clément, maman clemba, des pièges de culot qui ment. Peut-être en puits, n'est pas des mon frère de les ors. Tali et Léon, au plus ferme mammifère et aigle, la nom était de l'amant au tuinus de ton nez. Maison air, stérile, le son et le cheval, et le bœuf ont bidé leurs adhères et poissons, ne sont plus des serres, son nuque génital, dans les basques, gueules, en enfance profond. Na hand de fedor. Qui est na hand de fedor en groupe? The farog of the clue the few lugs tall. Er narica, a mall or tash point of the broge, vilchica, the trula, agasum cardina, igach. Snomeanishina, don van, angle no crown vioic, stuck a global, solidocic tash doil, few general clavers, the stoidest, the rare vrista, harfor veder, fioganin, a Lán de Dainach. Défig fara be marangéna leis an mamach is bradúla, níar bhéin ina é méad a bhaid. Ag fós búlach an úrstarúl an chapu, agus an garan agus an déf, srín si da núdrach, níar lóid déin dina gaske a dhéanamh, as a bhal gynúna. Sna darí a plódú leis na páisli ag sgí gara. And don't worry, the English translation is now coming. I won't leave you in the dark without knowing what exactly I'm talking about. The ancient beasts. The ancient beasts bred even on the run, their glands encrusted with blood and excrement. Our forefathers displayed their members proudly by the fold of the sheet and the grain of the scrotum. In the Middle Ages, for a female angel or so, a fellow whose gear was substantial was needed. Even a claver, judging by his breeches, which exaggerate, perhaps a little, can't have lacked resources. Besides, man is equal to the proudest mammal. We are wrong to be surprised at the hugeness of their members. But a sterile hour has struck the gelding, and the ox has bridled there our doors, and no one will dare again to raise his genital pride in the corpses teeming with comical children. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Trinity FM, and I hope to be with you again next week, Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Trinity FM again. Make sure to tune in to the podcast, The Art of Conversation podcast. It's on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and also on my website, alanahamill.com. I'm going to leave you off with a song that I think perfectly replicates what I was talking about, performance aspects, and particularly those who may perform in pubs or nightclubs and have a great ambience in doing so. Another great Irish band, Hot House Flowers, with Don't Go.
The sun is shining down, blossoms of the avenue. There's a buzzing flying around.